Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Roker Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav back after Sunderland's first victory of the season. We won 2-1 against Rotherham at the Stadium of Light. I'm over the moon. I predicted it on the Friday Night Live. I said 2-1. I said we concede, but we'd get two goals. I think on the preview pod, though, I did say 1-0. So I'm taking my second prediction rather than my first one. But yeah, we won, and joining me to revel in this victory is Martin. Hiya, mate.
Hello, mate. Yeah, first appearance of the season on the pod for me, yeah. And our first 3 points, so can't be too bad.
So we're banning Craig, because Craig's obviously, he's bad luck. we can't ban Chris because, you know, he's been around a bit longer than most. But yeah, we'll ban Craig anyways until the next time we lose and we need somebody on to whinge. But no, we won. I mean, that's the first and most important thing that we want to talk about here, is that Sunderland actually won a game, and I wasn't bothered how we won it. I just wanted to win a game. I wasn't bothered whether it went in off, you know, someone's arse, whether it was a fluky penalty, a dodgy offside call. I just wasn't bothered how we won this game. So for us to win with a little bit of style actually was quite nice, wasn't it? Because I thought, although the first half wasn't a great half of football, generally, you know, the two teams, it was very messy. The second half, I think we dominated and deserved it. And we'll go right into the performance, obviously, but just first and foremost, mate, how do you feel with 3 points on the board? Are you relieved?
I think relief is the overriding emotion, isn't it? After the first two games of the season, where we probably should have got more points than zero that we did, but that was just one of those games on Saturday, wasn't it? That, as you say, it didn't really matter how we got the 3 points. We just needed 3 points because we've got a tough run of fixtures coming up after this. I think Rotherham were awful. And I think they'll go down this season, or if they don't go down, they'll be bloody close to going down. So, you know, I think it's kind of important not to get carried away with it, but it's 3 points. And yeah, as you say, there was signs of a bit of style in the second half, which were pleasing to see.
Yeah, and like you say, you know, Rotherham are going to be down there. What was the stat coming into this? They had the worst away record in the league. Was it 14 games or something that they hadn't won in?
Aye,
and yeah, Craig pointed that out on the pod as well, and I was, yeah, you know, normally though, Martin, let's be honest, when a stat like that comes up involving Sunderland, we lose. It always seems to happen, doesn't it? But yeah, I mean, I think generally the performance was very good. I think that we passed it well. You know, we were lacking that little bit of impetus up top, but that, you know, comes as a result of the team we picked. And we might as well start with that, I guess. You know, how did you feel when you saw the starting 11? Because when I saw it, I was disappointed, if I'm honest. I didn't agree with the way that Mowbray had picked the team the week before and going with the same system. We're playing like a half-fit Bradley Dack, that is the most forward player. And he did the same again in terms of the actual personnel, but the setup was different, wasn't it? So it wasn't necessarily about the 11 players in that. During the game, we started with Dack pretty far forward, and then I think he quickly realised we're probably going to be better off with Job up there, because Job can win headers, Job can hold it up. Dak's more effective ratting around and getting involved and getting on the ball. He's not exactly like Ahmad, but he's that type of player in that he wants to be on the ball, he wants to create things. So, I mean, the team selection, it did appear a little bit odd, but given that Hamia started for the 21s during the week, were you surprised he wasn't playing?
There was a few sort of questionable choices, I guess, wasn't there? I think I'd expected Hamia to be given a start for a couple of reasons, really. One, because we're at home. I could kind of understand the selection last weekend, because you're away and, you know, the game might open up a little bit later. But when you're at home in a game like we had, fixture like we had against a team that's going to be down there, I was really surprised to me you didn't get a chance from the off, you know. He looked good in pre-season. And I actually didn't think he was terrible against Ipswich. He had a quiet-ish game, but he wasn't awful, was he?
No.
So I was surprised with him not starting. And like Danny Bart was the other one that was talked about, and Pritchard, but like Pritchard was kind of ruled out really by Mowbray on Thursday or Friday, wasn't he? He said until Pritchard's future's kind of sorted out, he would be on the bench and then we'd see what happens after that. So I wasn't expecting Pritchard to start, but I thought, I guess it was a school of thought with Danny Bart, whether he would start given sort of Rotherham's aerial threat and playing against Ugel. I guess if he had started Bart, he's kind of saying that everything he was saying about 09 and the reasons for 09 starting the centre-half last week weren't actually good reasons. So I think he probably had to stick with 09 really at centre-half. And I think, as it turned out, that was a good call.
Yeah, definitely. I think 09 was fantastic. I think he was, other than probably Bellingham, I would have said my man the match. I thought he was great. I just thought he did everything right. It was a proper answering your critics performance. And we'll come on to it, but after we conceded the goal, even though really the goal had nothing to do with them, people were singing Danny Bart's name in the stadium around me. And I'm like, oh. But 09 followed that up by playing fantastic.
I reckon if Bart had put in the performance that 09 has so far this season, everyone would be saying, God, Bart had a good start the season. Because he's actually played well in the game so far.
Yes.
But like Dak's been an interesting one, hasn't it? Because he's clearly not fit. And you can see it after 5 minutes. He's not fit. He's not mobile enough yet. But you can tell he's a good player. And I reckon he's in there for his experience. And I think Mowbray has just chucked him in there because the rest of the team needs a little bit of leadership. And especially with the likes of Pritchard and Bart not in the starting 11. I reckon Mowbray is kind of going, okay, we know he's not fit. We know he's going to need to get up to speed. But he can provide a little bit of leadership. Yeah. He can take control of the ball. And like that first 20 minutes of him up front, he was crap. Like nothing stuck. Like we couldn't.
He's definitely not a striker, is he? No. He's never. I don't even think he's a false nine. I think he's very much a player who needs to work in that space between the midfield and the front.
That's exactly
sort of
right.
Three or four players. He wants to be on the ball. He's never going to lead a line. And but Mowbray knows that. If there's a manager in football who knows Bradley Dack's game inside out, it's Tony Mowbray. You know, he knows all about him.
That's right. So Mowbray's got him in there to do a job that's based on his experience rather than his ability, or his experience and his ability. But like the team selection for the last couple of games to me has almost seemed like Mowbray going, these are my best 11 players. I'm going to get them on the field and figure it out from there. And you know, you wouldn't have started the season saying Bellingham's going to play up front against Rotherham. Like that can't be in plan A, but it, you know, fortunately it worked out well. And I tell you what, he looked like a striker. Like if we bought somebody from overseas that we'd never heard of before, and saying this is a centre forward, and that was his first game, you'd be going, bloody, we've got a good centre forward in our hands here, because he was superb. He was holding the ball up, he was winning headers, he was linking play up, and he scored two goals. Yeah. And like that. He's talented. Like
my mate sat behind us at the game said, and he was right, and I said, I'm going to mention this on the podcast because it's a good line. He said 90% of being a centre forward is having good movement. And if you watch Bellingham's movement around the box, it's an uncoachable knack that not many players have got, in that they just know where to be at the right at the right time. And in both instances of those goals, that's what he was doing. And it wasn't just the goals either. There were other chances. There were other opportunities.
Well, he had two, didn't he, in the second half?
Yeah, there were other phases of play where, even where he didn't get the ball, where I just watched his movement around the penalty spot. And 17-year-old, that's the other thing you've got to kind of remember as well. Oh, he's a monster, isn't he? He's absolutely massive. And, you know, and yeah, I think that's a great point, what you've just made there, is that if we'd signed him as a striker, you would have been looking at him and thinking, what a player we've got in my hand. So it does bode well. And I thought, like, even last season, in similar circumstances where we didn't play with a striker and stuff, it forces the players you do play to take ownership. And I guess that's what Bellingham did. And for a 17-year-old to be doing that, I mean, you know, he's got some strong genes. I don't want to go on about his brother too much. same as me, you'll have heard Bellingham speak, Job, that is. You'll have heard him speak, and you just, you look at him, you hear him, the way he talks, you know, how articulate he is. It's weird. 17-year-old to be that sort of ready for first team football. And I got, you know, a little bit of stick for saying it on Twitter and stuff, but I thought he, in the two games before this, he played well. He faded. He definitely didn't end the games as well as he started them. But I think he's, you know, he's had a cracking start of the season. And I'm really glad Mowbray's stuck by him and that he's played him in all three games, because he could have quite, the easy thing would have been to take him out of the team, play Pritchard, play somebody else, you know, and he hasn't. They've looked at him and went, no, we need to give this kid games because he will improve quickly. And that's what we've seen here. He was loving it when he was celebrating those goals. He must feel 10 foot tall. And, you know, a lot of the Birmingham fans, when we signed him, said they didn't think he was ready. They didn't think he was up to much. But coming to Sunderland, it's a big move. You know, he's been, and it might sound daft, but he's been given a proper shirt number. He's got number 7 on his back, and he's moved away from a club where he's always been so comfortable into a new environment, a bigger club with bigger expectation. And, like, that's going to improve him anyways. He's going to have to up his levels. He's going to have to improve. Just, yeah, over the moon with how Job played.
It's funny because on the site I do the starting 11 before every game, and I actually thought we might start him on the bench. I thought Hamir would start, and I thought he's not going to drop Dak. I thought Dak would be behind Hamir in that sort of link role behind the striker and in between the midfield. So I was glad I got that completely wrong, because I thought he was superb. And it was interesting listening to Mowbray after the game, wasn't it? Because he was just saying, like, he's an absolute dream to coach, because he's always asking questions. He's always wanting to understand more and do more and understand his role in the team and what the manager wants from him. And he's always asking questions to enhance his knowledge and all that sort of stuff. And he's smart. Like, you listened to him after the game as well yesterday. He is switched on. He is smart. He's intelligent. And he's almost unfortunate that he is Jude's brother in a way, because the comparison's always going to be there, isn't it? And, yeah. You know, he's the reality is he's probably never going to live up to what Jude has done so far. But you never know.
I hope he does. We might get a couple of $100 million for him if he does. But I just keep saying it. Whatever it is, I think he's got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm very happy he's part of our squad. But yeah, the rest of the team, like I say, it pretty much picked itself. You were always going to go with that back five, Patterson, the same defence. Ekwa and Neil in midfield. We don't have any other central midfield players. On that, how do you think they played? Because I felt when we played at Preston that probably the most disappointing aspect of the performance was the centre midfielders. But I thought Dan Neil had a cracking game. And I thought, well, he was not as good as I've seen him, but he played okay. How do you feel they played?
It's funny because I must admit, I'm not Dan Neil's biggest fan. I think he's good, but I don't think he's great, right? And because of that, I've been watching him really closely this season in the three games so far. And I actually thought Preston, he had a good game. He was linking things up. He did a lot of the donkey work. And I actually thought he played pretty well at Preston. I thought he was one of the better players. He had a good game against Ipswich. Scored a goal. Almost had a second in injury time. And yesterday I thought he had a really good game too. And he's been asked to do a slightly different role this season, I think. Because last season he was the one, after Evans got injured, he was the one who was sitting back and sort of protecting the back four. And this season it seems to be Ekwa who's doing that a bit more than Neil is. So I think as a consequence of that, we're kind of seeing a bit more from Dan Neil in terms of, you know, getting on the ball, getting forward, you know, progressive passing. And, you know, again, as a consequence of that, we've probably seen Ekwa's game being a little bit limited compared to what it was towards the end of last season. But, you know, we've got really high expectations of Ekwa, haven't we? Because at the end of last season, he came in and he was brilliant for 3, 4, 5
games. Touré, wasn't it?
Oh, it was like, well, you know, he went from a really low base, didn't he? Because he had that game, it was against Hull away, gave away a penalty. Norwich away, wasn't it, where he came on? He looked as if he'd barely slept.
He was like a fish out of water initially, wasn't he? But then he seemed to settle really quickly and improve.
But his level of performance at the end of last season were right up here, weren't they? So you kind of go into the new season thinking, well, if he can keep that up, he's going to absolutely dominate. And I think he's done all right so far this season. I think he's been sort of 7 out of 10. He hasn't been the 8 or 9 that we saw at the end of last season. But he's just sort of steady away. And I think he's been asked to do a little bit more of a defensive role. But I think he's got goals in him as well. We saw one in the first half, didn't we? He had a long-range shot that the keeper managed to get to.
He's got cracking left foot on him, hasn't
he? He has. And, you know, I guess it's the lack of depth underneath those two that's a concern, because if one of them two gets injured or suspended, we haven't really got a great deal else to come in, have we?
No. And I think Mowbray's talked about that as well. I think once they've sorted out the striker situation, the next priority is going to be bringing in an experienced central midfield player. I think he's talked a lot about... I know there was quite a clicky headline the other day. Mowbray wants ex-prem midfielder, and I'm looking at him thinking, ooh, who's this player that he wants? So I click on it and listen to it, and I guess he did technically say that. What he said is he would like to bring in a central midfield player with Premier League experience. He didn't name anybody. But you can definitely see that as the solution, I guess, because I personally don't think Corey Evans will ever play for Sunderland again. I think he was probably given an extra year's deal, a bit like what we did with Jordan Willis, in that he had a really serious injury.
And
the club felt obligated, you know, look after him, put him through his rehab. Evans is still around the squad. You know, he's the captain at the end of the day, you know, so he's still around the squad on match days. Could be getting involved in some of the off-pitch stuff, you know, when he's not training and stuff. Maybe he's getting involved in the analysis or even the coaching, I don't know. But we've got to think about what happens on the pitch immediately, and you're right, we need a central midfielder in there to provide some cover. It was interesting what you said about their work and partnership, and that Neil appears to be playing further forward and Ekwa seems to have dropped a little deeper. On my way out the ground, I just randomly got talking to this fella on the way out, and he overheard me saying something about Dan Neil, and he said, I think that the wrong way around. He was saying exactly what we sort of said, you know, he feels that Neil's too far forward and Ekwa would probably be better further forward. Yeah. So that the fellow who I was talking to was saying, you know, last season when it was Neil sitting in and Ekwa playing a bit higher, we felt that we were better because Ekwa's strength is winning the ball high up and sort of playing off. And I think I agree with that. I think Dan Neil's best performances for Sunderland were in that, just in front of the back four. And I know sometimes with Dan Neil, the problem can be that he's guilty of overplaying it and he gives the ball away and stuff. But I actually think long term, that's going to be where he fits and that's where he's going to play. But in this game, to be fair, I thought the dovetailed really nicely. I don't think he didn't always sit high up the pitch and Ekwa wasn't always in front of the defence. They kind of dovetailed quite nicely. Like I say, they swapped out and sometimes they were dropping alongside each other and giving us a little bit more protection. And like I say, you've got to caveat that with the fact that we're playing Rotherham and their front line isn't really going to do you too much damage, and that you can maybe afford to be a little bit more frivolous, especially when you're the home team and you've got that big pitch and you're on the ball more. But long term, that's definitely the partnership I want to see in the midfield. And I thought Dan Neil was fantastic. I thought, for me, it was a much improved performance. We needed to see that. I know you said you felt he played well at Preston. I felt he went missing too much. But, you know, he's guilty of that because he's a young player. You know, he is still young. We've got to remember he's probably only played like 120 games, maybe, tops. You know, he's still very much in the infancy of his career. Ekwa even more so. Ekwa's probably not even played 20 or 30 games in his career yet.
No, he hasn't, has he?
Yeah, you know, at the minute, yes, I quite enjoy watching them all play, you know, especially with Bellingham in there and all the rest of it. But I think, you know, going forward, we probably need that little bit more experience just to push them. We've got to remember that as well. They're gonna tail off at some point and they need some experience back up. But in this game, brilliant. Thought they played really well and, you know, it set the rest of the team up. But I think when you've got that base, you can always sort of rely on 09 and Ballard. Our fullbacks are great. I think we've got the best two fullbacks in the league, if I'm honest. I've come to this realisation recently. I just think Sirkin and Hume are so dependable. They're fantastic both ends of the pitch. They're fit. If Sirkin can stay fit, he's a Premier League fullback. He's going to end up there at some point. Hume not far behind him. And like I say, you've got that base of, you know, a good back four, a good midfield. It lets the lads further up the pitch do what they're good at. There were times in the game where I felt like they couldn't really live with us when we were moving the ball quickly. And that's what you want to see from Sunderland, isn't it? You just want to see us get on the ball, move it around, but also have that killer instinct. And that's what Dak provided, didn't he? I mean, before we get on to Sunderland, obviously, though, we might as well quickly talk about that Rotherham goal. I watched it back just before me and you recorded, and I was trying to pull it back and work out what went right, what went wrong. So obviously not much went right because we conceded a goal. But it was maybe that little bit of inexperience that Ekwa has. He gets caught ball watching. Sirkin's quite high up the pitch. It drags 09 out of position, and Rotherham get a little bit fortunate. It ricochets off 09's leg. I think that's the third game in a row now where we've conceded a goal due to a deflection or a ricochet. Hits 09 on the leg, plays in, I think it's a Dauphin, and he finishes well, to be fair, but I think we're going to probably pick it apart a little bit. And I, like I said in the preview pods and stuff, I don't trust us to keep a clean sheet at the minute. And I think we need to tighten up at the back. And yeah, it was a disappointing one to concede for me.
It was. And also, I think when you look at it as well, Ballard didn't get across quick enough either, because Sirkin's pushed up a little bit on the left. 09's come over to cover him. Ekwood doesn't come in with his man. And Ballard doesn't come across when 09 comes across. So really, as a defence, you kind of got to move across the pitch as one. So we, as a consequence of that, we kind of had a big gap that was left, and Ballard reacted a little bit too late. 09, you could argue that he shouldn't have gone all the way across there. He could have stayed a yard or two back and held it up or tried to hold it up, and he went to the ball. But I think if he hadn't gone to the ball, you'd criticise him for standing off and leaving the lad in space. So it was a good finish by the Rotherham lad. He took a heavy touch, didn't he? And I thought he'd actually stuffed it up when he took his touch, but we still couldn't get back there. But when that goes in, you just think, oh, it's going to be another one of them days.
Yeah,
it's the last thing that we want, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt on the ground. Yeah, and you got that feeling of it. You look around and everybody's looking around and shrugging their shoulders.
Especially at home, like I always feel we need to score first, make them come at us, and then we get a second and third, because they've got to open up a little bit. You know, and as soon as they scored, you kind of think, right, there's going to be 10 men behind the ball. They're going to time waste. And even with the new rules to add stoppage time on, I think the referee had forgotten about that yesterday, because we never got any more stoppage time than we would have got last season. You know, we're kind of going off the base of 13 minutes in the second half against Ipswich, aren't we?
And he's probably thinking we're not getting paid overtime. Well, we don't want to be doing much more.
He must have had some tickets to go and see a movie or something last night, because he wanted to be off charge. But the pleasing thing was how we reacted to that, because we obviously went straight back in, and you know that goal probably came in with 60-90 seconds after they'd scored.
Yeah,
so
something like that,
such an important goal to get, because you don't really want to think about how that game could have gone if we hadn't got that goal shortly after they'd scored.
Yeah, and it was frustrating for me, to be honest, because in that first 20 minutes I was willing the team to do exactly what they did when we scored. I was like, get it wide, cross it. Why aren't we were doing too much of the stuff we were doing in the Ipswich game in particular. We had the ball, but we weren't doing anything with it. We were knocking it round. It was going around the box. It was going back into the midfield. It was going out of the fullbacks, back inside. All I wanted to see us do was get it wide and cross it and give Rotherham's defenders and goalkeeper something to think about. And it was just a little bit irritating for me that it took us to go behind to do that. First time we sort of broke forward. Clark does really... It's a really good ball from Jack Clark, actually. I think the fullback and the midfielder that go across to try and stop him are expecting him to take it down the line, and he gets a touch inside, whips it across to the back post. Dan Neal makes a great run off his man to head it back across goal, and Joe Bellingham's in a really good position. It goes back to what I said before, positioning was fantastic.
Yeah.
He heads it. He gets a little bit lucky. I think, you know, if you're a Rotherham fan, you may be looking at your goalkeeper there and thinking, God, just if you've got a stronger wrist, that doesn't go in, but it goes through his wrist. It's only a header. It's not like it's a volley from short distance.
Yeah.
You know, it's a header, but it goes through his hand. Bradley Dack follows it up, and that's another good thing about Dack, I guess. He's in the right place there too to follow it up, but it was already over the line by the time he got anywhere near it, and Bellingham gets his, I think it's his first goal in league football.
It was his first professional goal, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic for him to get that, and obviously for the team to get back into it so quickly. And after that point, for me, Martin, I felt like we were just in the driving seat. I don't think that... After that point, Rotherham were really in the game at all. I mean, I mentioned it on the preview, like, you know, my partner's side of the family, they're all from Rotherham, so I was talking to them after the game, and they were really high on themselves after scoring, and just were sort of watching the game thinking, why did we not come back at Sunderland? You know, we kind of just sat back and had nothing about us. But I think we made them look that way. I think we just didn't allow them to have the ball, and I think you're bang on. The timing of the goal was crucial. We had to respond quickly. If that had gone in an extra 10, 15 minutes, Rotherham would have just time wasted and stopped us till half time, and then it would have been a totally different game. So, yeah, a fantastic goal, but the crucial thing was that we got it when we did, because we didn't have time to mope about and sort of think too hard about the fact we conceded. It put us back on an even keel. It made sure that we were back in the driving seat. We were the team with the momentum, and it allowed us to finish the half strongly. You know, I went down at half time and was talking to my mates, talking about the half, and I said, we'll win this. I've got no doubt. I just felt like we were going to win it.
Yeah. It was a strange half, I thought, because in that first quarter, I guess, the first half, we did some good things during the game. I thought Patrick Roberts was quite influential. And Roberts got the ball quite a bit, didn't he? And
yeah.
There was rarely anybody near him for him to play off. You know, last season we got so used to Ahmad being within 10 yards of Roberts and playing little 1-2s to open teams up and carve them apart. And a lot of the time Roberts had the ball and he was, going after one defender, going after another. And, like he did at Preston, he sawed past the left back, got the left back booked pretty early on. And we just didn't capitalize on that. And I think we, as a team, because like last season when we had Ahmad in that, I guess it's a position that Bellingham's took, isn't it? In that sort of number 10 role. If you look
he sort of shared the responsibility with Dak during the game. Yeah, it was.
The personnel in the team, Ahmad's come out and Bellingham's in my mind. But Bellingham's a completely different player. So Bellingham will sort of operate in that central third more, whereas Ahmad operated in that sort of inside right position, even though Roberts was on the outside right, which often meant we could overload on the right-hand side. And we got a lot of the ball to Roberts, but there was actually times where we kind of should have got the ball more to Roberts because he had their left-back on toast. So we had an awful lot of play going down the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, Serkin did an awful lot of good work going down the line. I thought in the first half an hour, Clark was not in the game too much. He kind of grew into it as the first half went on. As you say, he was involved in the first goal, but I thought he kind of looked a little bit half-paced for the first 20-25 minutes. And you got Dak, so he's starting up front. And say for the first 10-15 minutes, he couldn't keep a hold of the ball. So he ended up dropping back. He was picking the ball up behind the midfield on some occasions, and he was coming over to the right-hand side. So he was kind of everywhere. And I think it was, if my memory served me correctly, I think it was after that we'd scored, or was it just before we scored, Bellingham got pushed up and Dak was playing in behind. I think it might have just been just after we scored. But that made all the difference because it gave us that focal point because Bellingham would stay up front. And as I said earlier, he could hold the ball up, he can link up play. And then all of a sudden, we looked an awful lot better. And I think we just need to figure out that little bit about how we support Roberts when he gets the ball because we need to get closer to him to play little 1-2s with. And the other thing that we were doing in that opening period of the first half, which we stopped doing towards half-time in the second half, for a lot of the first half, Trey Ewan was doing that thing where he tucks into midfield. And again, that gap that Roberts is operating in becomes wider and wider. Mm-hmm. After about half an hour, we stopped doing that. And then he was backing up and trying to overlap. So I think, we actually figured out a few things on the fly yesterday that should hopefully serve us well going forward.
Yeah, that's the only, not a gripe with Ewan, because I think actually he's been asked to do that and sort of tuck in.
Yeah.
But I think that's the one area where Gooch is perhaps a little bit better than Hume, is that Gooch always goes beyond Roberts and tries to offer a wide option. I just think it's more his game because he's actually a winger. He's not really a right back, where Hume is, very much a modern fullback in that he can defend, but he can, he's very good on the ball. I guess it's nice to have that variety, but because Roberts always likes to cut inside, I feel like because teams are doubling up on him, we need to have someone down the line more often than not to just provide a wide option and get balls into the box, especially when, we do have a striker and we do have Ross Stewart back and that type of thing. We're going to need to have more of a threat down the sides because, it's not going to be the Patrick Robertson-Jack Clark show anymore. We're going to have to play for a striker and we're going to have to try and get balls into the box and all the rest of it. And with Bellingham in the side, although he's not a centre-forward, he is about 6'3", 6'4", and he can head a ball. So, if you get the ball wide and working in the box and you've got a Ross Stewart and a Bellingham hanging around the penalty spot, you're going to be quite a threat from those situations. So, I think, although it wasn't a perfect performance, we definitely got better as the game went on. Like I say, into half-time, I felt like we were going to win. Straight after the break, we just carried on as we'd sort of left off and stayed on top of Rotherham. And then the goal that we scored came from, we were sort of piling a little bit of pressure on. their defender doesn't clear it very well. I think it falls to Ekwah, who I can't remember who he plays it into. It might be Jack Clark, actually.
You got played and Clark, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, and then Clark finds Dak, and the layoff from Dak was outstanding. Yeah. It was like, that's why we've brought him to the club, I think, for those little moments of quality that maybe other players don't have, because it just, he just cushions the pass lovely, straight into Bellingham's path, who's, again, his positioning is fantastic. And although the goalkeeper has actually stood the right side of where the ball's going, I just think it's a great finish, and he's getting nowhere near it. Bends it. Yeah, instep, bends it into the bottom, sort of bottom corner area of the goal, and that puts us ahead. And while you're never fully assured that Sunderland are going to win a game from being a goal ahead, I actually, on this occasion, felt like we wouldn't drop the lead. I just didn't feel like Rotherham had enough about them. I kind of forgot that Jordan Hugel was even on the pitch, if I'm honest. You know, there's a player who scored over 100 goals at this level, but we made him look very ordinary. They didn't have much about them, and it was sort of plain sailing from that point. But like I say, another great goal. I think that was probably the best goal we've scored this season so far. I know there's not been many, but for me, I just really enjoyed the way that it sort of played out, in that the pass was great, the finish was great, and it was a good moment.
It was, and as you say, we were just starting to build up a little bit of momentum there, weren't we, in that finish. It was just first time comfortable, confident finish, wasn't it? And as you say, for a 17-year-old lad to stroke that home like that was superb. And, you know, he could have had three or four, couldn't he? He had the one blocked where he kind of kicked it with his right leg and went off his left, or vice versa. And there was another one that was very similar to his second goal, wasn't it, where he just came in the box, stroked it, looked at
it, and the goalkeeper saved it.
Go in, and it got blocked. So, like, great finish. And, you know, that just give him a load of confidence, won't it? But it'll give the team confidence as well. And you can kind of see that everybody got a bit of a lift from that goal. The timing of it was perfect as well, because, you know, it wasn't as if we were getting really desperate in the last 10 minutes for a winner. It was nicely timed. We still had an awful lot of football to play. And, you know, if you're going to have a bit of a gripe, it would be nice to get another two or three goals, because we were well capable of winning that 3 or 4-1, weren't we? But we saw it out. And, you know, for usually when we've got a goal lead at home, the last 10, 15 minutes, you think, oh, shit, we get everybody behind the ball, defending it. But we never really got to that desperate point, did we? We managed the game really quite well. You know, Pritchard came on, Gooch came on, a little bit of experience to see us home. And, you know, we did it with bare minimum fuss compared to some games that we've seen. So that was a good second half.
It was, Hemia got on as well. He had a chance when he pretty much straight away, didn't he? When
that
he came on,
that would have been superb, wouldn't it?
It would have.
So
it
would have close.
And it would have been a nice way to sort of answer some of the doubts that people have had around him. But we saw the game out comfortably and with a bit of professionalism. And that's all I want, really. I want to see us win games, be pretty efficient, come out of the game with plenty to take forward. I think you mentioned it there about Bellingham growing in confidence. That's going to do him wonders, like, especially considering we've obviously told him you're going to be playing more often than not.
Yeah.
Started the first three games, but he's got to prove his place as well, especially with players like, you know, Dak around the team. Once we sign a striker, he's going to be directly competing with Dak. I know Chris Riggs injured at the minute, but Riggs done an awful lot to sort of put himself into the conversation too. So while Bellingham's been given that starting berth at the start of the season, he's got to earn his place as well. And the best way to do that is to do exactly what he did there, is to score goals. And I think, you know, going forward, we're going to see more and more of that from him. I think from watching the way he plays, and again, I'm going to mention his brother, but his brother's a goal-scoring midfielder. He's very much of the same mould in that he can finish. He's got a good finish on him. And he likes to hang around the box. And I just think in the way that we play, he's going to get goals this season. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he finished with 7-8 goals this season, maybe more, if he plays more often than not.
He could easily have 5 so far this season, couldn't he?
That's it, yeah. He's had plenty of chances. And like I say, providing he keeps providing, really. You know, he's got to have some sort of output. He'll play more often than not, and he will get goals, and he will be around the team. So just a really positive performance for me. This is exactly what I wanted out of this game. I didn't expect to see, you know, us at our best, sort of like pressing away last season, where we were just absolutely ruthless. We're not quite at that stage yet, but what I wanted to see was just us to win, obviously win the game by hook or by crook, but if we could, dominate and sort of remind people we're a good team, because a lot of our own fans have doubted this team in the last few weeks because we've had a bad start. And it was interesting for me that the likes of Ballard, Ekwar, Mowbray as well, in his press conference, were all at pains to point out we've actually played pretty well in these games, even though we've lost. We've been a little bit unlucky and we're not far off from where we want to be. And I think this is a good stepping stone into that, because we've actually got some pretty tough games coming up, in my opinion. You know, you've got Coventry away, Southampton have had a good start. We had to get a win sooner rather than later just to relieve ourselves of that pressure, right? And make sure that we go into these games with some momentum and takes the pressure off a bit, like I say. So happy days, right? I mean, I thought it was pretty much perfect from my perspective in that we just had to get the win. We had to do what we needed to do, which was obviously get the 3 points, but backing that up with some good goals and some good football, and I'm over the moon.
Yeah, look, the win was the most important thing, wasn't it? And, you know, the two games that we played prior to this in the league, play those games 10 times each, and I reckon 7 or 8 times out of 10, we'd get 3 points out of both of them. So we haven't had a bad start performance-wise, but the points tally is obviously the thing that everybody looks at. And it's, you know, ultimately it's the only thing that matters come the end of the season. So if you'd kind of dotted those two games at any other point of the season, you'd kind of go, wow, we're unlucky today, and you move on to the next game. But because you start the season off, and we obviously all want to get off to a good start of the season, the results become more important than the performances might be. But, you know, I think you've got this funny scenario as well, haven't you, where the position that we finished in last season kind of clouds your perception of what last season was. So you go, okay, well, finishing the playoffs, maybe a bit unlucky not to get through against Luton in two legs. And you're looking at the bigger picture now. You're looking back at last season in the bigger picture because we finished sixth. But, you know, we went through spells last season where we lost a few games in a row. We went through spells where we weren't great. And it was that good run at the end that really got us from a mid-table position into a playoff position. So
yeah,
we're not going to transform into a team that wins every game overnight. We're in the Championship, you're never going to be a team that wins every game. And, you know, hopefully this result gives us a little bit of a platform to build on. But like, the reality is, if we can get... I'd be happy with 2 points out of the next two games, me. Like, a point away at Coventry, a point at home at Southampton, that wouldn't be the worst results in the world at all. And then you're looking at the start of the season, 5 points out of five, not the best points return, but it gives you a nice little base to build from.
Exactly.
So, you know, we've got to kind of look at it as a whole season rather than lurching from one game to another and letting ourselves get too high or too low based on what happens, because, you know, we've got, a week and a half, 10 days to... transfer window is going to be shut, so there's going to be business that the club wants to do and hopefully can do over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, we didn't bring Ahmad in until deadline day, or the day before deadline day last year, did we? And it took him 2 months to get up to speed. So, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen over the next couple of weeks and over the next couple of months. You know, you're looking potentially getting a couple of signings in, Ross Stewart coming back, hopefully, fit, scoring goals. And, you know, the whole thing is completely different. So the more points that we can pick up over the next few weeks to get us into that position where we can kind of go, okay, well, this is what we've got now for the next 3 months. You know, if we can, get another 2 or 3 points over the next few games, it's not the worst start of the season that we could have had.
Absolutely, mate. Well said. We'll round off with some 3-word reviews from the Rota Report Twitter page, or X. I don't even know what to call it anymore, honest to God. We've had plenty of replies. Sean Cottrell says, better Bellingham brother. Dan Ray says, give him a chance. Ant Watson says, Job for England. Steve B, 09 was immense. Joe Lewin says, Roberts, another injury. Didn't mention that, but he went off with something.
No,
didn't
he did. Hamstring, what was it? It looked like.
I couldn't really tell. Yeah, hopefully it's nothing much. Then hopefully he's back for next week. But if it was actually his hamstring, that's at least 2-3 week jobby, isn't it? So
yeah,
that's not great.
And that'll be interesting as well. Sorry, Gav, because I've just had a look there, and Bennett's been linked with a loan move away, and the club are going to decide on his future. Which, you know, if Roberts has got an injury, there's obviously still question marks over Clark. You'd be wanting to keep hold of any other wingers that we've got at the moment because, we don't know what's around the corner there.
Yeah, well, generally my viewpoint on transfer windows is that you strengthen before you let players leave.
Yeah.
So you make sure you've got players through the door. And, if anybody leaves, then it'll have to be after we've signed somebody. Gary Armstrong says, season starts now. Jill says, that felt good. Matt Bennett says, Dak to Job. One James says, please, not Stansfield. There's another name we've been linked with. Anne Caldwell says, relief, patience, optimism. Tim says, striker still needed. Neil says, paper over cracks. Junker Junker says, need a striker. I like that name, Junker Junker. Macamanth says, please be won. And we'll end off on this one from Stacey Shaw, who says, who needs strikers? Yes, exactly. Yeah, so we'll leave off the transfer talk because I just... things will probably happen in the time between this being recorded and going out. I don't want to date it. So, yeah, we'll probably leave that for the preview pod during the week when there's a little bit more to talk about in regards to transfers, because it seems like things are going to happen, according to Tony Mowbray. As Martin said, a couple of players have been linked in the Sunday papers when moves away. I'm sure it's got nothing to do with their agents. but, yeah, we'll leave off on that for a few days. Cheers, mate. Thanks for joining us. Been good to catch up.
Aye, definitely.
Cheers to the listeners. Thanks for getting involved and listening and all the rest of it. We will be back with a match preview pod before Coventry, so make sure you subscribe if you're not already subscribed. Catch us on all our social media where you'll find out about that first. And we'll catch you later.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.